Church, say amen. Amen. Is it well with your soul this morning? Those of you who have your Bibles, will you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter? We will begin our reading at verse 20. Let us pray. All wise and eternal God, our Father, a few of your children have gathered this morning in the house of prayer, realizing that we're not perfect, but perfectly forgiven. We come leaning and depending on Jesus. But know, Lord, that thou hast the power to raise us up from one degree of grace to another. And now we desire to hear from you, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take charge and reveal you a clear picture to us this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. In your reading, we will find these words beginning at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And for a thought this morning, we want to call your attention to the fact that the world has seriously made a mistake about men like John Dillinger being public enemy number one. For I have just discovered in the Word of God who public enemy number one is. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, the 26th verse, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We want to talk about public enemy number one. Pray with me this morning, church. You see, many times in the sadness of a funeral service, you see little children who walk weakly past the coffin where their mother or father may lay. And they're not old enough to understand, and they ask some very serious questions. Will daddy be back? Will mother come back home? Why is she sleeping like that? Why is she so still? They are grown people who at the funeral service ask the same question. Why? Why? Death is real. And death is not a friend of everybody. You know, it would be plastic for me to tell you that at a funeral procession, because you're a Christian, that you shouldn't cry. Because, see, you still have the humanity of man. And the mother may be 100 years old, but when mother leave here, Reverend is going to cry if he's here. Because death is awesome. In fact, it is so awesome that it has caused men to discuss it more than any other issue on the face of the earth. Death is real and terrible. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But you know, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ has taken death by storm. And that everybody who believes that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, every heart that has repented and turned from sin to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, the last enemy, death, has no victory for. For the Christian, death is the gateway to glory. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, I'd rather go home to Christ, but it's more expedient that I stay here, because I want to tell somebody that Jesus is still in the saving business. I'm in a strait, he said. For me to die is gain. I'm so glad about that, because before I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was scared of dying, because I know it's real. I've seen healthy men in the best of health drop dead by surprise with a heart attack. And somebody said he was a picture of health. But death is real. And the Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So everybody going to have a date with death one day. But now let's find out why is public enemy number one and who is for. You see, if you can't do anything about dying, then you need to check in with somebody who can make dying all right. Now, the world, who does not have time for Jesus Christ, figure that they're going to work out a plan that just before they die, they're going to call on the Lord. But you see, I was on my way to church this morning in good time for Sunday school. But 83 was blocked off, for a truck had overturned on the highway. I don't know if anybody was dead, but it had stopped traffic. I believe that if somebody had died in that accident, that they had no plans on leaving this morning. But God knows when you're going to leave here. And if you're not planted in Jesus Christ, I come to tell you that death is awesome. What is death? Let me explain death to you like the Bible teaches. Number one, physical death is the separation from your spirit and body. The moment you die, your earthly house, this body, this coffin that we reside in, is detached from your spirit. Your spirit leaves. That's physical death. But then there is another death that's much deeper. The Bible says that there is a second death. And the second death is for those who did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and they shall be eternally separated from God. That's the second death. That's the one that the last enemy, death, has not been destroyed for. The Bible says that over in the same chapter of Corinthians, verse 3 to the 5th verse says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, not according to hearsay, not according to what they said, but according to the word of God, which God promises that his word is accurate, forever settled in heaven. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I'm so glad that it didn't say that he went to the grave on Friday and got up Sunday morning. The Bible didn't say he got up on Sunday morning. And in fact, it don't make me no difference when he got up. But I'm so glad that he got up, hallelujah, on the third day. That's what the Bible said. And when he got up from the grave. And when he got up and 500 men seen him, not including women. Then he went and was seen by the 12. And then Thomas, who had some doubts about Jesus Christ, even though he had walked with him and seen the miracles of God, even though he had seen him change water into wine, even though Thomas had seen Jesus walk on the water,
He had seen him take a funeral procession and turn it into a family reunion. He had seen him give a man who was blind from birth his sight back. He had seen him send legion with 2,000 demons, send the demons into the pigs and heal the man. He had seen Jesus at his best, and he still had doubts about him. But Jesus said, Thomas, meet me in the upper room. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we have a God who has the victory over death, because I'm afraid of death. When Thomas saw Jesus, he touched the nail prints in his hand, reached in the hole in his side where he was pierced, and fell down on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. He believed. And if you believe today, then death is not your enemy. For as a child of God, God has the power to raise you up. It did not the Bible just say that Christ was the first fruits from the dead? For you see, when Christ went in the grave, he told the world before he laid down, no man take my life. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I can pick it back up. Because I got the power. Hallelujah. And he's the first fruit from them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. You see, man put us in this mess, didn't he? That's the first Adam. Then the Bible says in the 22nd verse, for as in Adam all die. Well, in the garden, God told Adam, say, Adam, I put you in charge of everything under the earth, on the earth, and in the air. Be fruitful and multiply. This is your dominion. You are the God of this earth that I have put you on. But do not eat of the fruit. The day that you eat of the fruit, that day you shall surely die. You know, God can't lie. And I don't care how much God may love you. And God loves man. But he can't lie. And when God tell you something, you believe that God knows what he's talking about. Well, Adam didn't do what God told him to do. He was obedient for a while. But Adam is like so many of us. We are suicidal in nature. Man wants to destroy himself. If you look at the life we live, we believe that Johnny Walker Red is a beautiful drink for a nightcap. But the body was not designed for you to get drunk and then help your system. It will slowly kill you. We believe that we can party all night long, 2 and 3 nights a week. But the body has not been designed for all night parties. And the devil desires to kill us, so he just wooing us on out. But God said that your body is the temple of the Lord. For you need to know how to protect your body. And the things that are not good for it, leave it alone. The devil wants you to die. So Adam, just like man, is suicidal. So instead of him being obedient to God's command, he decides that he's big enough to eat of the fruit. And in that day, death came upon not only Adam, but all mankind. We were born with sin-cursed bodies, designed not to live very long. The Bible says if you live more than 70, hallelujah, God has tremendously blessed you. But the body is not designed to live very long now because sin. And sin pays off in death. But I'm so glad God didn't leave Adam as the only hope. For he sent another Adam. And the second Adam was Jesus Christ. And he came in the fullness of time, right on time, when God said, go down through 42 generations. And when he got here, he had a work to do. And I'm so glad that he did everything that God told him to do. And therefore, because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow. And I'm not afraid of death. I can understand what Paul was saying. Come, sweet death. You have no more hold on me, no more dominion on me, because my Savior, Jesus Christ, is raised from the dead, seated on the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for me, and I don't have to fear no more. For where the Spirit of Christ is, we are set free indeed. There's liberty in Christ. There's hope and joy and peace. Public enemy number one, that's for those who have no hope. Those who do not know Jesus in a personal way. The Bible says if you're blinded, you're blinded by the God of this world. If you can't see the gloriousness of the gospel, the devil has blinded you. But he's not my master. For God said that when he saved me, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are beyond the devil. And the only time that he can do anything with us is when we disobey God's word. That's the only time. Public enemy number one. He's going to claim those who are not saved. But I tell you one thing. I'm so glad that God knows all about death. I'm so glad that God said in Psalms 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Because God knows I'm going to raise him up. And when I raise him up, I got a new body for him. I got a new joy for him. He's going to see that city I told him about. Public enemy number one. Not for the Christian, but for those who think they're big enough to do what they want to do. As long as they want to do. But sure as you're born to die, you got to leave here. And God does not always give you a warning. And you don't have to answer your telephone this morning. You don't have to answer when the bill collectors call. But when God dial your number, you leave in here. And you won't have an opportunity to play with God. Say, I believe I'm time ready for me to get saved. The Bible says, seek me early while I can be found. Call on me now, for the day is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised. I'm so glad that 2 Timothy tells me that Jesus has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel of his, of the truth that he was born and died and was raised. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have no fear of death. Not because of what I've done, but because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. I don't have to get no do-it-yourself kit together. I don't have to walk a certain way, talk a certain way. All I have to do is let the Spirit of God speak to my heart. Let me know I'm a sinner and come to Jesus Christ without one plea, just as I am. And God Almighty sends his Son off the cross and he saves my soul. And I'm robed with his righteousness. And I don't have to worry about death. And in his word, there was a little problem with Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus had died. And Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. And they ran out and said, Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have been dead. But you see, because Jesus has power over death, he don't have to be in a hurry to do nothing. That's why the old saints say, he don't come when you want him, but he's right on time when he gets there. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, show me where his body lies. Lazarus had physical death. And Jesus called him, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up out of the grave and came to Jesus who had power over death. And Lazarus died again. He died again after Jesus showed the glory of God. But guess what? He died in the Lord. And when you die in the Lord, you're not really dead. You're just sleeping. Huh? You just sleeping away because God's coming back for his children. Huh? And there's no more public enemies for us no more because we're not worrying about them because there's no enemy that's great enough to stand against God. And don't you know I was so glad that when Jesus was seen of over 500 men, that when he got up out of that grave, he said, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? I've got the keys of death and hell in my hand. I've got all power. Not some power, not man power, but all power in heaven and in earth in my hand. Don't worry about death no more. It's time to start rejoicing now. Yes, you're going to get old. Yes, you're going to die. But the Bible says that God will be waiting for you. The old saints say he's going to send a chariot to swing low to pick you up and carry you home. Somebody said it'd be a night train coming after me. Somebody said, meet me down by the Jordan. But one thing I know, the Bible said, one day Jesus gonna crack the sky and the trumpet shall sound
and Jesus shall stand in the cloud. The dead in Christ shall rise, and those who are alive shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Death, where's your victory? Grave, you can't hold me no more. Come in Jesus' cause, I'm going to fly away to see my Savior face to face. Ain't worrying about no death. Ain't worrying about death no more. No, sir, I'm going home. Bible said, when this earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, I got a building not made with hand. He promised me, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, just for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. I built the house myself, and I know every room, and I know who's on the guest list. I checked them out and validated them with my blood. Hallelujah. I ain't worrying about no death. I ain't worrying about it. Death has no hold over me, no dominion over me. Might fall down and break my neck, but Jesus will put a new neck on. Because when I get to glory, I'm going to have a glorified body, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, able to step across from one star to another, able to come back to earth that he makes all over again and do his bidding. Public enemy, number one, for the lost world. But death for the Christian is the gateway to glory. The life after death experiences we've heard about, preachers have talked about, saints have talked about, said that when they died and the doctors had pronounced them clinically dead, they saw themselves out of the body and they saw flowers in a beautiful light and they were running in slow motion trying to get to that city. And then they were brought back to earth. And they were able to tell the doctors what the doctors were talking about. And the doctors said, stop playing now because they believe it. But then Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. For he had a body, out of body experience himself. They had stoned him and left him for dead. But he said, the things I saw, I'm not lawful to utter because man not ready for them yet. But when I get to heaven, the same thing that Paul saw, I'm going to see. I'm going to see that city. Are you going to see that city? If you don't believe it, you won't be going. But my Father has prepared it. And I believe it. God bless you. Won't you stand? Maybe there's someone here today who still fears death, who's still afraid to die. Because they believe in their hearts that they're not saved. And if you're not saved, you should be afraid of death. Because death don't have no age to claim. Death claims all. And you know, today, we could lose a member or two who stood right in this service and said, yeah, I heard him. But he's just talking. Just foolish babbling. It's a funny thing. Jesus said, I've chosen the foolishness of preaching to save people. Huh? Just tell them a simple truth. You know, Jesus wasn't nothing but a foolish old preacher talking about if this body of mine be buried, 3 days I'm going to raise it up if they destroy this temple. The disciples didn't understand it, and they didn't understand it when he went to the cross. But when the Holy Ghost was fully come on the day of Pentecost, they understood it, for they had the witness in them hearts. You need to know today where you're going and who you're going with. If you're with the devil this morning, he has a short-term victory. But if you're with Jesus Christ, then you have the victory over the grave. And you can smile. Things might not always be right. Things might get rough sometimes. You might even get evicted from your home. You might even lose a loved one. But in the final analysis, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Won't you come if you need Jesus? Won't you come? Jesus calling. Choir. Won't you come? Religion can't save you. Shallow can't save you. But the Word of God can. Is there one who would like to join this branch of thine by letter, by baptism, or Christian experience? Won't you come? Everybody who knows that they're saved and know that if they die, they're going to heaven, won't you take your seat? But don't sit down if you don't know that. Don't sit down if you don't know that. God bless you. Amen. Let us get around the altar and have the Lord pray. We have a request for a special prayer for 7-day-old little Destiny Holland. I don't know what the situation is, but I know when someone asks to pray, that God said that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. We're going to ask Reverend Colden at this altar prayer to first pray for Destiny Holland by name, and then to pray God's blessing for the rest of us. Pastor Colden, bless you.
Let every heart pray. Our Father and our great God, we come to you today, dear Master, believing that you have all power in your hands, believing that you know all things, that you are everywhere present. We believe today that you do all things well. We know today that you have told us in your word to cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. We bring a petition to you at this hour, the petition for Destiny Holland, dear God. You know about the situation of this child. And we don't have to know, but all we have to know is to call on you on behalf of this one. Because you have told us as believers to intercede for those that need prayer. And so we call on you, dear Master, asking that you would move in a special way. Whatever it is that is needed at this hour, we ask that you would grant it, dear Master, according to your will. We ask, dear Lord, we believe today that it's already done. We're not going to question nor worry anymore about destiny, but we're going to leave destiny in your hands today that you might take care of the situation. And for all of the rest of your children who have gathered around the throne this morning, we ask, dear Master, that you would look into their hearts and see the things that we all stand in need of today. We ask that you would search and research our hearts and look at our minds today, dear Master, and the things that you see we stand in need of, we ask that you would do it for us. Oh, dear God, we stand in need of prayer today because many of us have run and we have fallen, dear Master. We need another blessing from you that you might pick us up and give us the courage and the strength to run on a little while longer. Oh, God, those of us today who are weak, we ask that you would strengthen us by your Spirit today. Give us a mind to run on regardless of the situation, because many of us are caught up in circumstances. Many of us have problems, dear Lord, when we just don't know where to turn or what to do or where to go. But we ask, dear Master, that you would give us divine direction. Lead us in the way that you have us to go. Make our pathway straight, dear God. Oh God, give us peace. Those today who are confused, dear Master, oh God, give us your peace today. The peace that surpasses all understanding, dear Master. Oh God, even in the midst of the storm, we know that you have told the winds and the waves to be still. We ask that you would, oh God, put the storms of our lives, put them to ease today, that we might serve you in the way that you would have us to. We pray for homes today that need you. That husband that won't act right. That wife, their master, that won't be submissive as you would have her to be. Bless in that home today. Bless the children, dear God. Break their strong will that they might follow your will, dear God. Break their strong stubbornness today. Their rebellious state. Help us, dear God. Even us adults who are rebellious to your will and to your word. But God, help us to surrender and to see that your way is the best way. We pray for those today who are sick, that you would be a healer. For we know, dear Master, that you, by the blood of Jesus Christ, that in his blood there is healing for those who are sick today. Touch their master according to your will. Save somebody from their physical sickness, that you might raise them up to be witnesses for thee. Oh God, we pray for those today who are in need of financial blessings. Let them know to walk by faith and not by sight. Let them know, dear God, that you are a provider, that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, that you can feed us when we are hungry. You can give us water when we're thirsty. Dear Master, we pray for those today that have problems and don't even know what their problems are. Set them free from the power of Satan in the name of Jesus. Set us all free, dear Master, and help us, those who are believers, to recommit ourselves to your will. Help us, dear Master, to be like the one who was obedient and went out into the capitalist telling about the many great things that you had done in his life. Help us all to go out and be witnesses, to tell the world, tell the dying world, that it pays to serve Jesus every step of the way. Help us, dear Master, to recommit ourselves, to reconsecrate ourselves. Help us, dear God, to rededicate ourselves, that we might live lives that are pleasing to you. Bless Shiloh today. Bless Shiloh with the blessings that you see they stand in need of. Bless their pastor that he might lead this flock in the way that you have them to go. Bind them together in one band of Christian love and give them a mind to go on every step of the way. We thank you, dear Master, that you have allowed us to come through this branch of Zion. We thank you for that, that you have done for us in this place. We ask that you would be with us as we move out. We ask that you, dear Master, would bless us to follow your leading. We pray for those who have not yet decided to make Jesus their choice. We pray, dear God, that you would prick their hearts and cause them to be convicted until they come running, crying, "I yield, I yield, I cannot hold out any longer. What must I do to be saved?" And then, dear Master, when our days on this old earth are done, when Sunday there will be no more crying and no more sorrow, when every day will be Sunday and the Sabbath shall have no end, we look forward to that day when we shall gather around the throne to sing the great hallelujah chorus, to sing and shout how I got over. Oh, dear Master, we look for that day when we shall hear your voice, when you will say to us, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up. I will make you ruler over many." We look forward to that day when we shall be in your presence forever and forever. We thank you that we should have no fear over death today. No fear of death, because death can do nothing for us, because Christ has given us life and no one or nothing can take it away. We thank you for eternal life through Jesus Christ. We praise you today. We worship you today. We magnify your name today. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, dear Master, for your goodness and for your grace. And we leave this altar now believing that all things that we have asked today in your name will be done by faith. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And thank God. Amen.